them anymore.
I'm going to call to order the regular meeting of the Finance Committee for November 26, 2018. Public comments, members of the public here, approval of minutes.
I move approval of minutes, that looks good to me.
I agree with that, no unfinished business, we're going to move to item 5.2 to Lauren.
The beginning.
Lauren, since we have to take action on that, and then we'll rest from there.
All right, just real briefly, we have a request for the use of 202 planning recovery funds to fund a study on recovery funds and also cost allocation. In your staff report.
Is this a self-licking ice cream cone, is that what this is?
In a sense, but in your staff report, there's a list of the types of studies that go to, updated on a regular basis for the purposes of implementing the general plan. And we want to do a more in-depth study to look at what the costs are associated with those updates and whether or not our fee is correct for recovering those, the funds needed to do that work. In addition, we're doing a citywide cost allocation study as well to look at overhead rates and make sure we have proper factors to go into our rates that we use for the assessing recovery fees. So with that, we're looking for a total cost of $46,855 from the Fund 202 planning recovery fees. And that would cover the contract cost for the study as well as staff time.
Who's going to do the work?
It's a firm called NBS. We did a competitive process. We've got two bids. This one aligned most closely with what we want to do.
Sounds like really exciting work. Wouldn't want to miss that. So, Scott, you okay with it?
No, I'm good with that.
Thank you. I am as well.
Whenever, I mean, you don't have to do them annually or anything like that, but anytime you do, you know, these cost analysis of fees to more closely match the costs with the income, or and so that we're recovering the right level of income, not too much, not too little. It's generally a good thing.
It enhances your credibility.
It does. Yes, when you have to justify it, you're so much better off. I'm good with that.
All right. So item 5.3, is that how you wanted to progress, Joe?
Yeah, you still in order.
Okay. Make poor Amy come back due to the end. What did she get wrong? After school. All right. This is Candace, are you going to walk through this? Eva, what's...
Candace.
This is Candace. There we go. Go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon. So you have before you the draft capital for June 30th, 2018. The newest thing in the capital this year was GASB 75, which required us to report the unfunded actuarial accrued liability on the statement of net position, and also to have a more detailed note disclosure, just like GASB 68. So starting on page 28 of the packet.
Package 28.
Okay, thank you.
So that's the independent auditor's report, 28 to 30, and it states that we had a clean audit, and our audit shows that everything is represented fairly and in all material aspects is accurate.
Okay.
Then on page...
We're in year four with MACE, is that right? Was this year four or the next one in year?
I think this is year four, but we do have the ability to go until next December, and then we're going to have to do
it. It's been our policy to every 5 years to change audit firms.
5 years, correct.
Okay.
So page 32, statement of net position. So we had a decrease in our net position of $17.7 million from the last fiscal year. So in the asset area, the decrease was related to increases in cash investments, OPEB asset, OPEB contributions, which are deferred outflows, offset by decreases in notes and loans receivable and capital assets. And liabilities increasing, which is a net pension liability, causes the overall net position to go down. So on page 33, that's a statement of activities, which shows expenses, program revenue by department, general revenues, and the changes in net position, which ties to the previous statement. Going to page 35 and 36, this is the governmental funds balance sheet. It has assets, liabilities, and fund balance for all of the major funds. The ending balances for general fund was 7.4 million. Doherty Valley Fund was 1.4 million. The total for all governmental fund balances is 84.2 million. And that's at the end of page 36. Moving on to page 38. This is the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances for the governmental funds. It shows revenues by source, expenditures by department, transfers, and net change of fund balances for all of the governmental funds. So for general fund, the net change of fund balance was $2.5 million, and for Doherty Valley Fund was $1.8 million. The total net change for all governmental funds was $2.3 million from the previous fiscal year. The next page is 42. This is the statement of net position for all the proprietary funds or internal service funds. Is showing an ending net position of $11.7 million, which was an increase of $1 million from the previous fiscal year. The next page is 47, and that's the statement of net position for the fiduciary funds, private purpose trusts, and agency funds. And that shows an ending net position of negative $56.2 million, which is due to reporting the long-term debt in the fund. So it's going to have a negative net position until the debt's paid off.
For the successor agency.
Has to be because it's a liability.
Yeah, because all that's on the books now is debt.
Okay, that makes sense.
Pages 59.
When does that go to the county?
It's going to the county soon. I think they have their first meeting in January, I believe.
59?
Yes, page 59. This is cash and investments going from 59 to 66. We're showing that cash and investments of 85.9 million. Has detailed notes about all of our investments by type, by issuer, by credit risk. And so the next one is capital assets, which is on page 70. And we're showing $436 million for all of our capital assets net of depreciation. Next is page 71, which is the beginning of long-term debt. We have a total long-term debt of $23.5 million. And then as you turn to the next page, this is a detail of each debt type.
That's good that COP 11 is gone.
Yep.
And this next year is the last year on the police radio.
Until they...
You know, until we have to buy new radios, yes.
Yeah.
Because we might run out in 8 years of channels, so we've got to buy them now.
Okay, next on page 79 is the beginning of the information, the note for pension plans, which is GASC 68. The total net pension liability is $29 million. Which is an increase of $5.6 million from previous year.
So we're on which page are we on?
Well, on
starting
page 70.
On
79
okay.
To 87.
Oh.
I'm sorry, 78.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. Sort of a definition thing.
Okay, tell me where you see the $29 million. I see $22 million, but
and
not $20 million.
And then the safety. safety is.
Part of it, and then if you go to the safety, it says there.
The sum of the two.
The sum of the two.
Okay.
And I.
Have any questions on that?
Well, when I get to page 99, if you, I want to talk about.
Okay.
Effectively the same number though, right?
Yeah, it really is, but on page 99, and that's, there's got to be a similar page like that for the safety group. On that page.
101.
I'm sorry?
101.
101, okay. So, if you look at the, liability, net pension liability. On page 99, it's going from 6.5 to 10.6, 18.3, 22.6. Okay, that's a trend line that's really bad direction.
Bad.
And then to add into that, you've got 3 million going up to 6 million. So,
yeah.
Is that as bad as that looks to me? It's going from. At the beginning of that time period, roughly $10 million to now a $29 million. So our net pension liability over the last 4 years has gone up by a factor of three.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's also
part of it has to do with the change in discount rate.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Change of assumptions?
Yes. Right.
But it's still a liability.
I
understand the why. I understand most of the why. My question is, the trend line, and in when I look at this report next year or the following year, is it going to be, you know, 38 million, 52 million, 71 million? You know, is it going to continue in that direction? Is there a time when that rolls over?
Well, we really don't know because CalPERS is the one doing all the calculations, but they are having factors in where they're making cities pay a larger portion of the unfunded liability as a lump sum because they used to blend it into the rate. And now we have a rate plus we have to pay this lump sum amount every year. And that number has gone up. So they're kind of forcing cities to now lower that liability by doing that.
Okay, because I look at our contributions just on the miscellaneous group and I get employer contributions, 2.1, 2.3, 2.6, 2.7 million. Mm-hmm. So that's not going up very fast.
Right, and that employer rate is based on a percentage. Now, starting, I think it started last, did it start in 17, 18, where we have to pay a lump sum amount. So it's not considered an employer contribution. It would just be payments made towards the unfunded liability.
So,
so
like
it should reduce
payment.
that number as we go along. I believe the, don't quote me, how much is the payment this year alone?
It's over $1 million. I think it's about 1.4.
In addition to the employer rate. And we have that all blended in our budget.
Okay. And then the employee contributions are going to rise some as well.
The employee contribution?
Yes.
You
yes.
mean them contributing?
Yeah, I mean, we just put in the 1%, 1%, 1%.
Yeah, so the employer rate, they're now the employees are now paying that. So we, the employees will be picking up that portion of it.
Okay.
The city will still, I mean, the city still has to pay their portion, but the employees are now contributing towards that portion.
Okay.
And there's also then additional lump sums.
Yes.
Okay.
How far in advance is the lump sum known?
Oh, we know what they are for the next 2 or 3 years. It'll show in our actuary.
But it doesn't show up in.
No, because it's only giving you the information as of this point in time.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
So if they lower the discount rate,
yes,
then you're going to see liabilities shoot up.
Right.
And if by some craziness, which is probably not likely, they increase the discount rate, then our liability will go down. So it's tied to that. And then the additional factor is paying off the unfunded liability has been a factor, a 30-year factor, and they dropped it to a 20-year factor. Or do we have a choice on that now or not? They were discussing the two to pay the unfunded liability off, and that's where they get that payment.
The extra.
Because they put it out over 20 or 30 years.
Okay. There was a. We also have the pension obligation bond. Now, the pension obligation bond is that a variable rate or is that a fixed rate? Let's see, where is that? That's on page
71.
Page 73. Okay, 71, 73, right. Okay, let's see. This is the only area I'm going to spend a couple minutes on. Let's see. Interest on bonds accrues at 4 to 6.4% and is payable semi-annual. Okay, so when is it 4%? When is it 6.4%? And how do we know?
It's blended in the payment schedule. So it's still fixed because we know what those payment schedule payments are. So, but
okay,
we don't show it here
okay
on the schedule because you only show the payment of principal and interest.
Right.
So we can get that information for you if you
okay
need to know.
Now, one of the things that was attractive when we did this in January 2010 was it was a interest rate and it's fully amortized. And it was an interest rate that was a couple of percent cheaper than the CalPERS. And so there was a benefit to the city to take out this pension obligation bond, pay off the, or pay down the CalPERS,
right,
and then pay this off in these annual payments.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything like that still are the interest rates on pension obligation bonds still?
People are still
bad?
Doing it, but it's not the best practice anymore per GASB. They're kind of shying away from doing refinancing of pension.
I wasn't
bonds
thinking of refinancing this, but
mm-hmm,
you know, if you can borrow money at 4% and pay off the state 7%, that's a hit. I mean,
mm-hmm,
but the state, Scott, is narrowing the time frame, right? So these were 30-year bonds, and you're effectively
okay
trying to borrow money for a longer period than the state will allow you anymore.
Okay, but my question, rather than a 30-year, but let's say it's a 20-year. Let's say you can get 4% money for 20 years as opposed to 7% money or 7.15% money
mm-hmm
for 20 years. And, of course, the CalPERS isn't fully amortized, whereas the pension obligation bonds are.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything that was favorable to the city to go out and look to possibly do another pension obligation bond to refinance some of the debt that we have with the liability that we have with CalPERS.
Okay. Okay, that was just a general question, because like I said, you know, I have a home equity loan and I have a car loan. The car loan is 0.99 and the home equity loan is 2.5. I mean, the car loan's cheaper than the home equity loan.
Right.
So
the only thing with doing pension obligation bonds, you lock yourself in for 30 years.
Yes, or 20 years.
Yeah. Whereas if you see better, if CalPERS starts to do better, you can't take the money that you already
right
put into the pension obligation bond and kind of pay some of it down. So that's where you kind of...
We took that out in 2010, and CalPERS has never gotten close to...
Right, and it made a lot of sense at that time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was my big question for this.
Other highlights, Candace? Low points?
And you see the pension plans, there's more detail that the GASB is
yeah
making
absolutely
us put. It's like
yeah
another 10
it's like
pages.
They have the same, well, they got the same thing in three places,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And that's essentially you start seeing the same numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we get it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just other balance sheet for governmental funds, statements of revenue expenditures, and, you know, changes in fund balance for the non-governmental funds. So that was pretty much all I have.
One other thing I noted in a couple of places, they called it a building maintenance fund. Is it building maintenance fund or is it infrastructure?
It's infrastructure.
Could you get them to change the title in the report then to infrastructure? Because I don't want to confuse the two,
right,
and I want to make sure that if we're putting money into the infrastructure fund, it's going into the, that's what it shows up in the report.
Yeah.
We're still doing a review on this, so
sure
there are still some things that will get changed in the wording.
Okay. So have them do a word search on building fund or whatever it is. Okay. Is that the same as the Capital Improvements Fund?
No,
no,
that's
Capital
the CIP.
Fund
okay
is the CIP fund.
Okay. Well, maybe Debbie or Maria knows the answer to this one. SEC JEPA fund, page 131. Balance of 8.9%, or 8.9%, 8.9 million. Is that mainly for Crow Canyon widening? Is that the future use of most of that? Okay, all the people over there. Okay, so the 8.9 million, if that's not enough for the whole project, but that's where the bulk of that's going to go.
That's correct.
Okay. That's all I need for now.
Okay.
I got a few more questions, but I'll take them later.
All right.
I want to get through the rest of the business.
We can now skip to the CIP, because the other two last two are really informational.
Cool. Okay. Go ahead, Amy.
All right. So I'm going to be really brief so that we can go ahead and provide the PowerPoint presentation highlighting some of the projects. So this report basically is providing an annual accounting report of completed projects that were done last fiscal year and doing an analysis based on the approved budget versus the actual cost for the projects. And we've been presenting this report in the fall of each year since 2005. So I'm going to just go ahead and do a summary. So there was 21 projects that were completed out of the 71 projects for fiscal year 17-18. Of the 71, there are 13 projects that are annual that continue on, so they don't really complete until the project is done. And we also deferred 4 projects, which included the West Side Specific Plan, the Teen Center, the Alcosta Pavement Rehabilitation Project, and the Crow Canyon Ironhorse Trail Overcrossing. Those have been deferred. The total project cost for the 21 projects was a little over $10.9 million, and the actual cost completed was a little over $5.9 million, which resulted in a savings of a little over $3.9. This excludes the Permit Center and Police Department energy savings project of a little over $1 million, because that was a rebate basically we're getting that's going to show. So there's no expense showing to show that the, so that's why it's a little bit higher, the $3.9 million. The largest savings came from the pavement management project as well as the sidewalk project. Both of those projects got funds reprogrammed, so the pavement management 2017 project had a savings of a little over $1.8 million because the bid was all climate. We didn't get as favorable bids, so we ended up reprogramming those portions of the street to be done as part of 2018, which is in construction currently.
So the savings was mainly work not done.
Correct, and so it got shifted to this new project that's under construction. And the same
it's like in our house, when you don't go shopping, you save all the money you might have spent.
And the same thing with the sidewalk project that got shifted out into the current project. And then the Gadd landslide repair project had a savings of a little over $311,000. Mainly the design was done all in-house within the engineering services operating budget, and so the construction ended up being a savings of the $311,000, which went back to the reserve fund. And then the telephone system upgrade project was completed and was under budget by a little over $68,000, and that went back into the information systems fund, back to that project. The only other two I wanted to highlight was the citywide drainage infrastructure. While it shows us a savings of $1.4 million, that actually gets rolled into the project, so there's other projects that are being done. So this specific EBA bridge erosion repair was done under $12,000, and the current project has a little over $725,000 available that are being currently utilized for different work that's being done, erosion repair, the MSE wall, etc. And then the park restroom renovation at the Boom Acres, if you recall, was vandalized, and so we received $100,000 from the insurance claim. So that resulted in $68,000 going back to the park development fund. So with that, the Exhibit A shows the actual funding and where the amounts were transferred back to, since you had requested last year that we identify where it actually went to, if it was a gas tax and Measure J. And then the actual specific, if it was multi-funds, the actual amounts that went to the each different fund. So for irrigation booster pump, the work that was done was at the Coyote Crossing, Thomas Ranch, and then various Doherty Valley sites. And we refunded $18,000 to Park Development, $3,000 to Doherty Valley CSA, and $1,000 to L&L, mainly the Thomas Ranch subdivision. And then the centralized irrigation work was done at Canyon Lakes, West Branch, and Old Grand Summit. With that, exhibit attachment B is just the summary of all projects that are within the five-year CIP that have had funding authorized, and it captures how much has been spent to date and the current comment status of the projects. So I will answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, I will hand it off to Brian to provide you with our PowerPoint.
Packet page 10, which is attachment B, I guess, because it's obscured. Line 14, Central Park Basketball Court. Staff to obtain fee proposal from consultant to begin design. Are we really going to design?
We
I thought we've kind of set we, that aside and we were going to do something out in Doherty Valley at Ranch Park.
So the funding is sitting there for that purpose, but we have just been sitting on it. And but that what is listed is what the purpose was. But okay. We have not talked to a consultant and started any design.
Okay.
Slow playing them out.
Yes. Page 13, line 85, Twin Creeks Drive Extension. Debbie, I thought we killed that. Yeah. I thought we killed that two general plan amendments ago.
Well, it's still shows in the Crow Canyon specific plan and in the general plan still, but with this update to the Crow Canyon specific plan, we will be, the goal is to eliminate it, but we need traffic modeling to make sure there's no level of service impacts from the redesign of Crow Canyon.
Okay, so there really is no plan to go forward with the Twin Creeks extension. Okay. Sometimes when I see these things show up here, I don't recognize that it's it got killed over here, but it didn't.
It's not quite there yet.
It doesn't
go in there.
All the way through. Okay. Okay.
Give Jim
Livingstone a lot of credit because he and I were on the finance committee when we started doing capital project reviews to see where the money was coming from, going to, and were we really meeting our goals. Anything else? I don't have anything else. Okay.
Great.
Oh, is it?
It's going to show it here now.
Okay.
PowerPoint presentation. This year we added another feature, which is just highlight the projects that we've done this year, 17.
Sure.
Just reflect a little bit more than what's done. Just a reminder, it is 17, 18 are projects that rolled further than that in the following year, lightning. PMP 2018 MG. So that'll just dive in here and kind of give you a little idea of the highlights for the year. So anyway, starting with the marquee installation out front. I'm sure you guys are very familiar with that.
Yep.
Great tool for announcing activities and events. Has been happening since it got started. Costs.
That's controlled in the Parks Department?
Yes.
And that was from pay fund. Next, the sidewalk repairs for 2016-17. 3,800 square feet of sidewalk driveway replacements. There were eight ADA ramps throughout the city replaced, around 161,000. That was under gas tax and Measure J. And also just to note that what we started is invoicing residents per the sidewalk ordinance for some of their shared costs for some of these.
Are they paying?
Yes.
The majority, yes.
They have been paid. Stopgap, 1617, 40,000 square feet localized paid repairs throughout the city is a couple of examples, Old Ranch and Morton. 6,000 linear feet of crack ceiling, just under 400,000, also gas tax, Measure J.
So what are we doing, I know it's not stopgap, but what are we doing in the pavement management program next year, well, this year, to see that we get better bids or we can actually get some pavement?
We did a lot of pavement this year, so again, this is really looking at what we would call PMP 2017.
Okay.
We did fairly minimal work. All of that work was rolled over into 2018, so that's all completed. So
okay.
We did a lot of work just okay. past this reporting period.
Okay, and this next year?
Next year will be very heavily Doherty Valley preventative maintenance work. A lot of streets.
Okay. Okay.
Streets.
Yes.
Iron Horse Trail improvements. There are 9 nodes throughout the city that incorporated landscape, benches, and other assorted improvements. Most of it was actually done outside of this fiscal year before that, but there were some boulders and some other features that were added. In the end, 4,000 square feet decomposed granite, 450 shrubs, 25 trees, 7 shade structures, 14 benches at $739,000, and that had various funding sources, developer, TLC grants, and some others. PMP 2017, like Robin said, that had less than what the 2018 had, which was much more robust, had a lot more streets and overall improvements. In this case, there were 1,000 tons of asphalt laid, 6,500 square feet of localized repairs, 22,000 square feet of micro-surfacing. Cost $1.2 million, and that's also gas tax Measure J. Some of the streets included Camino Limon, Monarch's Place, Ryan Industrial, that street, and a number of others. Serpley Ranch, EVA Bridge erosion repairs. That was, the cost was $12,000 change. Installed rock riprap, erosion control, trenching. This will be reimbursed from FEMA. OES reimbursement. This and then the following slide, both from all the big rains, if you recall, this is a big winter from 16 to 17, caused a lot of damage, and these are some of those improvements that were completed. So the Gavilan side repairs, there's a snapshot of 3 of them, bridges, South Gale Ridge, West Elmo, there's a total of 7 total.
I assume last weekend we didn't have anything of consequence.
That was under GAD reserves at a cost of $688,000.
So all the catch basins are clear and
yep.
streams are running? Okay.
ADA and safety playground upgrades, specifically at Boone Acres Park, and that was $168,000 park development fund and Measure WW.
I noted in what some report that we are now zeroed out on Measure W. Okay, that's forever. Measure WW is done.
Yeah, well,
you can ask them for more.
They
still have
there's
money. They just there. Haven't allocated it to anybody.
Oh, okay.
These paperwork says. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, focus was Boone Acres Park before. There's
mm-hmm.
a picture there.
Mm-hmm.
And oops, I keep looking at the here. Mm-hmm. Pretend like we're at the eye doctor before.
Yep.
Which one's better? And then the shade structure improvements. As you call, there's been a number of shade structure improvements over the last few years.
I'm hearing from residents how much they appreciate these. This is a hit.
Really pushed them.
This is a hit.
So the latest one was Ramona Park.
Yeah, for a fairly modest investment, it's been a big hit.
Park Development Fund for a cost of $32,500. And again, the before, and One more time, irrigation estimate. Irrigation booster pump replacement, we placed 4 of those this last year. You can see the locations for a cost of over $100,000, PDF. Central Park restoration improvements. Focus, a lot of it was on the Central Park area, $228,000 for development funds. Prominent trees before and then after being placed down the walkway there. And then also before as you enter off Al Costa from the driveway, you can see the landscape medians and then the entry monument there. Park restroom renovation, clearly before, does not look good. It's the after. So that's Boone Andrews Park, $68,000. I believe most, if not all, was from insurance, eventually getting that money back. Street landscaping renovations. This is citywide. I'm just going to capture a few projects, but there were a number of ones that aren't shown. $212,000 spent. First is North Chantrella at Bollinger. Remove declining landscape.
I really helped that neighborhood out.
It was supposed to be flowers replaced seasonally. That's how it was sold to us.
Yeah.
So we did install 1,385 shrubs and some mulch and converted irrigation with more efficient irrigation nozzles. There's the before. And then, so obviously, a little time to grow, but much more drought tolerant. This is the Fostoria Way overpass memorial median, American flag landscape. So, remove declining landscape. I won't go over all the numbers, but there's a lot of red, white, and blue flowers and roses and things of that nature represented by. And then completed the irrigation models. There's the what it was before, and then the after. So obviously, once you establish more, you really see the colors. Then we have Zone 3 at Canyon Lakes on a Costa. From Bollinger to Terre Haute Drive. We have turf conversion there, almost 50,000 square feet of turf that turned to drought tolerant, low water use plantings. Installed 75 trees, 212 shrubs, and then 1,200 change smaller shrubs.
Now, your predecessor, Joe, would have preferred them before.
So there's the before and the after.
Yep.
This looks really nice. I was driving on Alcantara a couple weeks ago.
I'm going to do that one more time.
That one's really nice.
Sure.
There's the end. And then that's the cricket pitch at Windermere Ranch Middle School. $255,000 park development fund. Essentially, we took out the existing pitch that was on a concrete pad, essentially, with almost carpet overlay that was glued on, if you will, to a new pitch that's pervious concrete so it drains better, and then a more sophisticated, heavy-duty synthetic turf type material. So that came out really well. So here's the existing pictures. In the ranch, and then here's the improvements. The first picture is obviously a concrete section, and then they put the synthetic turf over the top of the second picture. And then last, we have Doherty Valley Aquatic Center equipment replacement, the 50 meter pool replastering. That was at $523,000. Infrastructure maintenance fund. And there's the before.
stuff.
Good idea of all the work going on in public works.
Thank you. A lot of great work. It is very noticeable. That's the kind of in that period for a long time where everything was in a holding pattern. It's really nice to see. All right, I'm going to have to depart.
Yep, that's fine. I'll just go over the last couple of reports, the retiree benefit trust and the PARS 115.
Thanks, everybody.
So this is the SERP trust for the quarter ending September 30th. And you see a beginning balance of $29.1 million. There is a disbursement listed here that was from fiscal year 17-18 that was done in this fiscal year, accrued for last year, so it really has no effect on the balance for this year. And then we had fees of $6,300. We earned about $400,000 for an ending balance of $29.2 million.
And I bet if we looked at it today, it's...
I don't want to look at it today.
Yeah, it's probably in the 28th somewhere, I bet.
Well, at least our interest earnings, we earned more than what we actually took out in disbursements, so we still came in above.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm grateful we have this. But, yeah, you can't count on every year getting 5, 8, 10%. So.
Right.
Oh, when's the next actuary study on that?
We just completed.
We just finished this year.
This year, so it'll be in 2 years.
Yeah. Okay.
So the PARS Pension Stabilization Trust, this is as of September 30th. So we started the balance, this is a monthly statement, started the balance of $2.1 million, and we had $1,600 because we had negative interest earnings and expenses. And then we ended in $2.1 million, but $1,600 less.
Yep.
So, any questions on that?
No.
So far, we haven't withdrew anything.
Okay. Is that...
That's it.
So our next meeting, December the 10th.
If we have any items.
Yeah. Okay. So that's adjourned then.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Candace, if you don't mind, or...